Okay, let's open the book of Matthew, chapter 5, and we read only verse 8. Matthew 5:8 reads, Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for being with us from the beginning. We are going into your word, Lord. In the before Bible study, we had a service of prayer. There we were talking to you. Now, Lord, you want to talk to us. This is a conversation style. We thank you for that. Lord, may you speak to us. Our hearts are empty. They need to be filled by you. Don't allow me to speak my mind. Let your Holy Spirit speak your mind. Prepare us, O Lord. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Yeah, we continue with our series in the Beatitudes, the blessings. Yeah, we've learned a lot of truth since we began these blessings. The Bible says, Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Because the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Then he said also, they are blessed those who mourn. Because they shall be comforted. They are also blessed the meek. Even those who hunger and thirst for righteousness are blessed. And last week we were looking at the merciful. And I showed you how different this is compared to the above. The attitude. I told you that the merciful. Okay, mercy is the character of God Himself. That's what makes it different from the rest, from the previous virtues. And I talked about the human type of mercy and godly type of mercy. And God wants us to have the godly type of mercy. And remember, I told you that Charles Spurgeon compared these beatitudes to a ladder. And he said, the more you go to the next, the bigger it is. Now I think you can ask yourself, if mercy is the character of God Himself, that's what makes it bigger than the poor in spirit, the meek, and the rest. What else now can be bigger than mercy? But today we are looking at this pure in heart. And John Calvin also says that purity of heart is universally acknowledged to be the mother of all virtues. That means the greatest virtue. Bigger than mercy. How? I thought when you have mercy from God, that's all. So in this sermon we are going to look at the pure in heart. How are they more blessed than the merciful? Pure, the word pure. The Greek word for pure is kataros. Kataros. And it has a variety of meanings. All of which have something to add to the meaning of this beatitude for the Christian life. Yeah. Originally, okay, I want to explain the meaning of kataros to the Greeks. This word simply meant clean. And it could, for instance, be used on dirty clothes, which have been washed clean. You had a white shirt, white skirt, a dirt white cloth. Then you wash it in Omo or in Nomi, and it becomes kataros. The second meaning, it also regularly was used for corn. Corn. Maize. Which has been winnowed or sifted from. You see, our super. Yes, thank you, brother. Our super, I eat super here. It is too white. Even when I visited Burundi some years back, they were asking me, wow, where did you Ugandans, where do you get these white maize flour? Because they take it into a machine, they first remove the skin. So now they only grind the other inner part. So they were using also kataros to mean a corn which has been winnowed or sifted and cleansed of all chaff. Yes, muchere wakasori. Yeah. Okay, you need to kataros your rice. You need to kataros your maize. Number three, it very commonly appears in company of another Greek word, which is akiratos. What does that mean? Akiratos simply means milk, wine or juice, which is not yet mixed with water. You know the milk that they sell last year. It is after mixing enough a lot of water in that milk. So it's no longer akiratos. It's no longer pure. When you squeeze a mango fruit, you get akiratos juice, pure juice, mango juice. It is thick, but normally people mix there some water, then they put some sugar. So that's the origin of this word, pure. So then, the basic meaning of kataros is unmixed. So Jesus says, blessed are the kataros in heart.
Yes, Christ was God.
Always, wherever you see the word pure, put there kataros. Blessed are the unmixed in heart. That's why this beatitude is so demanding, a beatitude is so huge, so important compared to the rest. It's very rare indeed that we do even our finest actions. Finest actions like preaching, giving, helping people from absolutely unmixed motives. Try to get me well here. Let me put it clear. It is very rare that any human being does anything they do without any unmixed motives. Many preachers preach because they want to be famous. So they do it with that mixed motive behind. Others preach because they want to go to places. You go and help a poor in Kampala, on Kampala roads, because you want to be seen. So you are doing something with mixed motives. Yet, kataros means unmixed. Is our work done from motives of service? Or just from motive of pay? Let us check whatever we do. Is it pure? Or it has something mixed in it? Let me go and be trained, maybe tomorrow I can be an elder, a deacon, and maybe I can also be paid. These are just examples I'm bringing. That church takes people to Israel every year. Let me join this one so that also I can also go to Israel one day. The question is, whatever you are doing, are you doing it out of pure motive? Even the people we marry or want to get married to, we have motives behind. He has money. Does not have money, but is coming from a rich family. So it's not pure love that is pushing you to this guy or this lady, but you have other motives. Is the work we do in church done for Christ? Or for our own prestige? And may the Lord forbid. Is our prayer and Bible reading engaged upon with the sincere desire to company with God? Or simply because it gives a pleasant feeling of superiority? Oh, let me read more the Bible so that I have more scriptures. They respect people who know more scriptures. Then your reading of scripture is not kataros, it's not pure. It has other motives. Then, I'm still on the definition of words. Always when you preach, my brothers, define words, so that when you now put them together, they bring some sense. Let's look. Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart. We've understood the meaning of pure. Clean. And mixed. Now, Blessed are the people, those who have the hearts that are not mixed with anything. By the word heart, we are not meaning this organ you have on your left side chest. We are to understand the inward part of man, comprehending the mind, including, in other words, the mind and soul, with all their faculties and affections. The purposes and inclinations, the secrets and hidden part into which mortal eye cannot penetrate. The secrets and hidden parts. Where physical eyes cannot penetrate. So in brief here, the heart means inner man. Let's check that in Luke. Luke 12:34. Let us not sleep, please. Luke 12:34. Jesus says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Do you hear now the words of God, of Christ? Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. Your inner man, your spirit. So, in Matthew 5:8, when he says, "Blessed are the pure in heart," he's talking about those who are pure in their inner man, in their spirits. Blessed are the poor in heart. Not blessed are those who are poor in the head. Why didn't he say in the head? Because men can have pure notions, pure knowledge of theology in the head. Full of knowledge of things about the Quran, about everything, all the region of the world, but have impure hearts. So always let us be careful, even as we are chasing theology, the knowledge of the Bible. We always encourage you to be readers of books, so that you be knowledgeable. God says my people perish for lack of knowledge. But remember, knowledge remains in the head. And Jesus wants us to be pure in the heart. Not in the hand. Not blessed are those the pure in the hands. Because someone can have a hands that give more than any other, but being impure in heart. Not blessed are pure in speech or in action. Because many people speak well. No one speaks better than Barack Obama. Many people behave well, but they are impure in heart. Jesus says, blessed are the poor, the pure in heart. Let's now look at the natural condition of human heart. I think now you know when I talk of heart, you know what I mean. The inner man, your inner man, not this organ that pumps blood. What's the natural condition of human heart? Genesis 8:21. You need to understand yourself first. Understand your heart first before we go further on how to be pure. Genesis 8:21 reads, are you there? And the Lord smelt a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I'll never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. Read it, Luganda brother.
Mukama nayogera omutima gwe ensisi kyagikolimira nate oluvannyuma ku lw'omuntu kubanga okulowooza okw'omutima gw'omuntu kubi okuva mu buto bwe so sikyakuba nate oluvannyuma buli kiramu nawe nkoze.
Did you hear that from God himself?
Okiwulidde ekyo kuva Katonda.
Because the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. The imagination in your heart, in my heart, are not good naturally. They are evil from when we are too young. Should I add you? Let's check Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17. Let's try to hurry on getting these scriptures. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10 reads, the heart is deceitful above all things, and the desperately wicked, who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Do you hear what the Lord says here? He says that the heart is deceitful above all things. Because it's evil. Even from the womb of our mothers, our hearts are evil. Ever since we ate that fruit in the garden, our minds became corrupt. They are evil. And that's why I pity many pastors today, many so-called Christian writers who teach their members that they need to follow their hearts. You can even see some posts on Facebook. No, don't allow people to take you here and there. That's why you miss to be rich. Follow your heart. What you decide to do that. Follow your heart. You ask yourself, do they read these scriptures? Your heart alone, your heart on its own, it will never guide you to the right path. And Matthew 15, we are still on the natural condition of human heart. Matthew 15, 18 and 19. Matthew 15, 18 and 19 says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. 19. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murder, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, blasphemy. So all these things we do, they come from the heart. So that's the condition of our hearts. Very evil, very depraved, And the Bible is full of scriptures like this that show the condition of our hearts. For the sake of time, I just wanted to give you these three. Now, if that's how my heart and yours is, what does that mean? When Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, that means we will not see God. Because Jesus will need the pure in heart. Now let's go to how to make one's heart pure. How can one make how can one make his or her heart pure? Proverbs chapter 4. We read 23. Proverbs 4:23 reads, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Let me first stop there. Check now this wise man of God. He says, among all the things you need to keep, keep your heart more diligently than any other. Are you there? Proverbs 4:23.
Read.
So let us analyze these words here. We have two parts. The first one is that we should keep our hearts more diligently. That's what we should do. And then down there we have the why should you do that? People keep their eyes so that dust and other things don't enter in there. People keep their babies. You find a mother even on a slippery area. They fall down, but they try to fight that their babies, their kids don't fall down. I saw one last year in Ibunamwaya. And I just stood someone and said, oh, the love of the mother. She was going to fall like this. But the way she did that, she falls the other side so that the baby, she does not fall on her baby. It was touching. People keep their bank accounts like nothing. They keep their money in the banks because they know that there it's safe. Once you get a wife, a husband, you want to keep them diligently. Men are scarce these days. If he has told me not to go to church, I'd rather stay here. Men are scarce these days. You want to do everything to keep him. You try to keep your business. You do everything it takes to keep your business from falling. But check what this man is telling us in Proverbs here. He says it's okay to keep whatever you want to keep. It's okay. Even me, I keep my money in the bank. Even me. And this guy is not discouraging us from doing that. From keeping your husband, your wife, your children, and whatever. But what he's saying, Among everything you keep, keep your heart more diligently. Brother Francis, what does it say in that version? 23.
Above all else, guard your heart, for it's a wellspring of life.
Above all else, above your education, above your finances, above everything, keep your heart. And it, not only keep it, but keep it more diligently, more carefully. Why? Because out of it spring the issues of life. Yes, other versions say the springs of life. It's not one spring. There are many. And all of them come from there. I think you can start getting the picture why this is more important than mercy. Because if President Museveni is important to Uganda, but remember, he stays somewhere. Before he comes to do whatever he does in this country, he comes from somewhere and he goes back that same place. So, if President Museveni is mercy, then where he sits, where he stays is pure heart. Having a pure heart is the seat of mercy, the seat of any virtue. When mercy is coming from within you to go and manifest its actions out, it is coming from the pure heart. If people see you as poor in spirit, that's where it sits on the pure heart, it sits there. If you are a mourner, you always mourn for your sins, that state of mourning sits on the pure heart. What does that mean? Remove the pure heart, you have no virtue. Because that's the source. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Keep diligently your heart. That's the source of everything. Let's try to look at these springs of life that come from the heart. So I've already told you some of them. All the above virtues, there are some of these springs of life. Pure in spirit, mourning, meekness, hunger and thirst of righteousness, mercy. Because you know, a spring gives life to where it flows, to the people where it flows. So if you bring mercy out, the people are receiving that mercy from you, are being refreshed. So that's the spring of life, which comes from the heart. Another spring of life, to do the will of God. It is the heart that does the will of God. Ephesians 6:6. By Ephesians 6:6.
Ephesians 6:6. It is your heart that does the will of God, not you, your heart. He says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Doing the will of God from your heart. I want to it to be read in Luganda so that you understand these things very well. Read there, brother.
Singa mukuweleza okwokunguru ngabagala okusimwanga abantu naye ngabantu ba Kristo ngamukolanga n'omwoyo Katonda gy'ayagala.
Did you hear that?
Owulidde ekyo.
To do the will of God
okukola okwagala kwa Katonda
in your heart.
Mutima gwo.
But then you're going to discover with these scriptures we're going to read here that the heart does everything.
Tugenda kizuula.
Number one, it's the heart that does the will of God. Number two, it's the heart that sings to the Lord. Did you know that? These hymns that we sing every Sunday here, it's our hearts that sing, not our lips, not our mouth. Let's check that Ephesians 5:19. Just where we were. Ephesians 5:19 reads, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord.
Nebiyiye ebyomwoyo nga muyimbanga nga mumukubiranga enanga mu mutima gwammwe mukama wa.
So we sing, it's our hearts that sing to the Lord. Not the instruments. People have, the world has failed to understand us on this point. And many can even try to avoid us because we don't use instruments. It's not the instruments that sing to the Lord. It's not your mouth, not your tongue. Your mouth and tongue are receiving commands from your heart. And once you sing from your heart, you sing better. When you love anyone from your heart, you love him better. Unfortunately, we are living in the world, in the time when people do everything from the mouth. The I love you is just from the mouth. For the sake of time, those who write, you write these scriptures, you read them on your free time. We can't go through all of them. Number three, it's the heart that gives. When you give to a poor, to your brother, to your sister, to anyone, like the brothers in Kenya want to give, that's much money they want to contribute on you, one way for you to go to the conference. It's the heart that gives. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Write that, you read it at home. It's the heart that gives. 2 Corinthians 9:7. It is the heart that glorifies God. So I'm trying to show you how the heart is the center of everything. And once you lose your heart, then you are not there, you've lost everything. It's the heart that glorifies God. Romans 15:6. 15:6. It's the heart that believes. Romans 10:9-10. 9 and 10. It is the heart that repents. Romans 2:5. Let's read there. Romans 2:5, it's the heart that repents. Romans 2:5 reads, but in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment. Is it that? I said Romans 2:5. But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judge, who will render to each one according. Can you read in that version, brother? Let me hear what it says there.
2:5.
Yeah, 2:5.
But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, mm-hmm. you are storing up wrath against yourself.
Repeat it, brother.
But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant
heart. Because of your unrepentant heart. Because of your unrepentant heart. Not lips, not mouth, not tongue. It is the heart that repents. That's why many people have promised us that they have repented. But their hearts have not repented. They have you see them going back to what they used to do. It is the heart that serves God. Wonderful. Wonderful. It's the heart that serves God. Romans 1:9. It is the heart that loves God. Luke 10:27. It is the heart that forgives. Matthew 18:35. It is the heart that is humble. So I think now you can bear me witness when I told you that all the virtues sit on the pure heart. It is the third beatitude that says, blessed are the meek. The fourth. I think the third. But here they are telling us that it is the heart that is meek. Let's read there. Matthew 11. Matthew 11:29. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. Mumutima. It is the heart that is meek. If Moses was meek, the meekest person, it was inside his heart. So, all these now, being meek, forgiving, loving people, serving God, repenting, glorifying God, all these together are those streams of life that all come from the pure heart. And our Lord reminds us here, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Keep more diligently your heart, because out of it springs all the issues of life. Even if you come into the physical part of it, this organ heart is very important. Do you know that all the arteries come from the heart? And the heart pumps blood throughout the whole body through those arteries. Some bring heart the blood from the heart to the eye, from the heart to the ears, from the heart to the toe, from the heart to every part of the world, the body. And Jesus says, why don't you want to learn spiritual things from natural things? The heart is the source of life. You cannot have mercy if you don't have pure heart. So, without pure heart, all these other virtues we've studied up to mercy, they are equal to zero. And now, how can we keep our hearts pure? Still, Proverbs tells us down there. Proverbs 4. If we continue this passage, Proverbs 4. It tells us, keep 23, begin from 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Now, how to do it? 24. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. Now they are giving us the way on how to keep that heart pure. Verse 24. Put away from you a deceitful heart, mouth. Put away of you a deceitful mouth. Let us allow this boat to pass. Okay, churches want to be near roads, near main roads, but this is also one of the side effects of being near main roads. They don't mind that this is the Lord's day, they are doing their thing, because their hearts are not pure. So, put away from you a deceitful mouth. That means, don't tell lies. How can not telling lies purify the heart? It's the word of God telling us. Because he first taught them to keep more diligently the heart. Then he gave them the reason why they should do that. Now he's giving them now how to do that. What? Why? Now how? So which means, if you stop telling lies in your life, slowly it's like soap washing your heart. Few people here speak the truth. Very few, if none. Children deceive their parents. Parents deceive their children. Husbands still deceive their wives. Wives deceive their husbands. Everyone deceives everyone. So if you start speaking the truth in your life, you are applying soap and water on your heart. Apart from that, and put perverse lips far from you. It's the same. Perverse lips, now they are the lips that speak nonsense. Okugeya, rumamongering. Did you see Gloria? That girl. Did you see Marvin? The way he put on that t-shirt. Perverse lips. Put them away from you. There you are applying soap and water on your heart. Verse 25. Let your eyes look straight ahead. And your eyelids look right before you. Don't put your eyes here and there. Look straight ahead. What does that mean? Focus on what you're doing. Don't put your eyes here and there. Focus on the Word of God. Focus on that. 26. Ponder the path of your feet. And let all your ways be established. When you are standing and wanting to go somewhere, ponder where you want to go. Like this morning you stood up and you came to glorify God. That's good. So if we can be pondering, thinking twice before we stand up and go somewhere, it's another way of having pure hearts. Because many times we go places, and in those places we are going to spoil our hearts more. You go and visit your friends. Your friend's home is not like yours, where they restrict them from some programs or on TV. So when you say, let me go and visit my friend, and again and again and again, there you are being exposed to what you don't see or watch at your home. And they put dirt on your heart. That's why he says, think twice before you put your feet on a path. 27. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. We don't have time, enough time. I could show you the diseases of the heart. There are many. But you read from home. Pride. Deuteronomy 8, 12 up to 14. There are also many. The diseases of the heart. Pride. Deuteronomy 8, 12 and 14. Disobedience. Deuteronomy 30:17. Disobedience. Obuje. Doubt.
Okubusa.
Mark 11:23. But is this church I'm going to the true church really? You are having doubts. But is this Jesus Christ the true Savior? Can't I go to the Father through other means? Doubt. Remove all doubts from your heart. Remove all weakness from your heart. Jeremiah 4:14a. Remove all evil thoughts from your heart. Jeremiah 4:14 part B. So Jesus Christ says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. What a promise. We are ending with this, for they shall see God. And do you see how all these beatitudes are mingled together? You see the promise of the poor in spirit? There's the kingdom of heaven. And the heaven is where God dwells. How do you go to heaven without seeing God? They are the same. When you go to heaven, you see God. That is his home. Here they say the reward to those who have a pure heart is that they will see God. Today we see Him. We see Him by faith. We feel His grandeur, His goodness by faith. But time is coming when Paul says we shall see Him as He is. We shall be transformed as He is so that we can see Him as He is. And only the pure in heart will see God. Remember what God told Moses when he wanted to see Him. Men want to see. I'd like to see New York. I'd like to see Gulu. Moses wanted to see God. Your voice sounds lovely to me. Too scary to me. But how do you look like? Allow me see you. And God tells him, Moses, my friend, no human can see God and live. You see God there and then. You can't even die alone. You disappear, you become like dust. I don't know. Our nature and the nature of God are too separate. Our nature and the nature of God are too separate. He is too holy, we are too sinful. But check what He's promising us. If we are willing to have pure hearts, to see Him as He is, I can't compare that with anything from here, from this world. We shall be marveled, we shall be surprised when we see God. What a great God! The glory around Him. When I read Ezekiel, I find the cherubim, the mightiest angels, who protect the holy throne of God. They are not messengers. They've never come to the world. They are not sent. They just protect the holy throne. On each corner of the holy throne, they keep protecting, keeping the holy throne. But none of them is allowed to go an inch towards the throne. Read Ezekiel. The one who's in this corner, they just keep rotating. This one comes here, that one goes there, that one goes there. They keep the lines. You are not allowed to come even an inch towards the throne. The glory, the power that is in this space is too much for them. Jesus Christ tells us, you and me, that we shall sit with Him. We shall observe Him. We shall not only go an inch, we shall go near the holy throne of God. I understand why angels asked. And who are these, Lord? Who are these? Oh, brethren, the thing that are being prepared for us, we can't even comprehend them. We can't. But only the pure in heart will enter there. But check how you live your life now. I told you everything you do springs from the heart. If you backbite people, it's your heart. If you don't offer for the work of God to go ahead, it's your heart. You deceive yourself. God, you helped us. We came from those churches where they used to ask us for money every Sunday. Oh, we are in this one is so good. Oh, I enjoy myself. They don't ask for money. And you leave the work of God down. Your heart is not pure. You don't need to be reminded. If you have a pure heart, you know that everything I receive comes from the Lord. And he asked, I have to take a part there to push the work of God forward. When you celebrate, you don't support the work of God because here they don't ask for money. Your heart has a problem. Should I tell you? Fight. Get it from me. Fight being bored by the word. Those who have pure hearts, they even don't want preachers to stop. That's another sign to check, another tester to check your heart. Keep more diligently your heart, more than you keep anything, because out of it springs the issues of life. You cannot show mercy if your heart is dirty, because that's where it comes from. You cannot love anyone if your heart is dirty. That's where love stays. It enjoys the comfort of pure heart. It enjoys. God, the Lord bless you, Brother Jovan. I was really touched by your testimony this morning. It encourages me that really the word we are preaching here is entering you. We need to love the Lord our God with the whole of our hearts and everything. Let them get the jobs. Lift the banner of God high. Say no. How will the people of the world know that Jesus, God still has his people, a remnant for himself? And you see, he brought it into that lady as a parable. What if someone brought you a circle full of man and a circle full of Bibles? What can you pick? You said, I can go with the Bibles. That very week, they called you to go on that interview of that circle of money on Sunday. Good enough. Even the real sense, you chose to go with that sack of Bibles. If your heart is clean, you can't hate your brother, your sister. Whatever we do here, we don't have any hidden agenda. No. We pray and pray to the Lord to continue cleansing our hearts every day. What do I benefit from just hindering women from work, from serving? What do I benefit from it? Those people there, they don't like women. Who told you? Someone with a pure heart cannot hate anyone. They don't like women. Who told you? We just try to interpret what we read in the Bible. And if we interpret them wrongly, the mercy of Christ will be upon us. Because we did them out of ignorance. His mercy will be with us. I don't have any bad intention with anyone. You look bad. I can't make you an elder. You can't be a deacon here. Why? Let us seek one thing: to have pure hearts. The pure hearts will direct the rest of the things. He has not chosen me because he does not love me. Really? God is never corrupt. And also, if you want to serve him, never be corrupt. Corruption is not only with money. Blessed are those who have pure hearts. They will see God, this glorious God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. I'm just amazed every week when we come through the next beatitude. Lord, I am surprised with your word. When we reach a beatitude, I think now we've reached, this is the greatest. But Lord, when we see the next, I get amazed. Thank you for teaching us this day that the pure heart is the seed of any virtue. Be it joy, love, mercy, pure in heart, and whatever, they all come from the pure heart. Go out to serve and come back again and sit on the pure heart. Which means, oh Lord, if we don't have pure hearts, we don't have anything of all these virtues. May you help us, Lord. May you help us. If we see things differently, it's because of the heart. It's the heart that forces our eyes to see that there is truth in this church. And it's the heart that shows that there is lies in this church. Help us, because without pure hearts we can't do anything. We cannot serve. You cannot lead your people well. Help us, Lord. Go far from any evil, so that our hearts can be pure, and so that one day we can see you. We thank you for this word. And all this we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.